Do you ever find yourself thinking about who would win in a fight between Goku and Superman? Hi, I'm James Gavsey, and on the Who Would Win show, me and my co-host Ray ignore anything important happening in the outside world and debate fictional battles between characters from comics, movies, and video games.
We got a new show every week, and almost always am I the winner.
Yeah, not true, Ray.
In the past, we've discussed such matches as Captain America versus Darth Vader, Solid Snake versus the Iron Giant, classic matchups like RoboCop versus Terminator, and even the Muppets versus Sesame Street.
That one was crazy. So if you're a fan of geek culture and love a spirited debate, check out the Who Would Win show wherever you get your podcasts, or check us out at whowouldwinshow.com.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey everybody, and welcome back to your favorite G.I. Joe podcast show, and we will not be derailed by Robert Clark Chan today, because we are doing more G.I. Joe, and we are excited for the opportunity. This is Knowing is Half the Podcast, and I am Ray Stakanis.
I'm Robert Clark Chan.
I'm Gina Ippolito.
And we are talking back to the Deke era. Look, we took like 3 months off of G.I. Joe.
Gotta get
and
back to Deke.
That was mostly so that Chan wouldn't quit the show. I can pull back the curtain, right, Chan? We had to do Halloween, Thanksgiving, and then Christmas, and even New Year's. Just to make sure that Chan had gotten enough like away from G.I. Joe that throwing him back into the deep end of the pool wouldn't cause him to quit.
Don't put this all on me. If we had not done Christmas episodes, Gina would have lost her goddamn mind.
Oh yeah. I would have declared you guys attempting a war on Christmas. And we it's can't real. Even watch Christmas cartoons anymore. I would.
And here's the thing. I've said some real bad things on my Facebook page. So like you could make that stick. You could make that charge stick.
Yeah. Yeah, and you'll never work in this town again since you're declaring a war on Christmas.
Wait, Jen, where is the positivity on your Facebook page? Maybe I'm confused. Is it different than usual?
Man, I am so much. All you got to do, well, I mean, I don't not all you got to do because it's real hard to get back. But if you look in my like, hey, 1 year ago you said this, 2 years ago you said this, because mine goes all the way back to when I started 13 years ago. Man, those early ones, dark, a lot of alcohol. I am so much kinder and gentler now than I was then. So
that's true. You know, this show has really changed you for the better. I think we can all agree.
I wouldn't put it on this show.
I don't know if he's been changed for the better, but he's definitely been changed for good.
Since this show started, you really had
that?
No other.
What is that? Did you just?
It's a Wicked reference.
A Wicked reference?
No, okay. Reference to the musical Wicked.
Fair enough. It sounded like something very specific. I did not know the reference, so I just wanted to make sure that you weren't trying to put something out there.
I blew by it because it is not our audience. It's not our audience. I was going to say,
and nothing else in your life. You haven't had any other life events that have been known to calm a man. It's basically just this show.
No, honestly, I didn't have a kid until I had already sort of exhausted like my energies, and I was just like, I can't do this anymore. You know what? It's time to relax. I'm gonna have a kid now and just shrink.
That's fair. That's fair. So guys, today we're gonna be talking about an episode called Infested Island. Now, really quick aside about this episode, and I've got some show information that's gonna make Chan very excited. So Infested Island showed up in our viewing list here kind of towards the end of season two. But according to, and I looked at the actual IMDb page of episodes, Infested Island was the first episode to air in season two, like when it actually first came out.
I don't like that we watched stuff out of order. The only thing that we can do to make it okay in my brain is to start over from the beginning.
Okay, start it. Mm-hmm. Let's start. In fact, just start season one Sunbow all over again.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's what I mean when I
I'm about to hit the stop button and accidentally delete everything for all time.
Oh no!
I'm gonna go find our vault and delete all of it, and then just walk away, walk off into the sunset, or like put myself on an ice floe and just push myself out.
Really,
to
you'd be hurting yourself the most because that's
what I've been doing for the past 5 years.
Yeah, that's 5 years of your life's work down the toilet.
Think about it though, Chan. You'd really be doing Gina a favor because then she could keep spreadsheets of everything that we do.
Yeah, yeah. Get some sweet, sweet spreadsheets going.
You want Gina to have that? That's not.
Also, I've been thinking a lot about how some of my earlier statements might come back to bite me in the ass if I ever run for president.
Do you need a spreadsheet of all the times you said something racist?
No, it's not. I feel like it's not right. I'm not the racist on the show. I'm not going to elaborate. It's one of you two. Oh.
Well, yeah, but
watch
really,
us all getting thrown under the bus slowly.
One of us. Yeah. Uh-oh.
I'm sure I said some sort of fuck the military thing at some point in the early days, but I really disliked that we were watching G.I. Joe. So I've lost the military vote for sure.
Also, there are the number of times that you referred to a certain writer as butt dicks.
Yeah. Not okay, Dana. Not okay.
No, I never would have done that if I had known how lovely he is.
Yeah. So anyway, so guys, coming up, so we're approaching the end of season four of Knowing Is Half the Podcast. So Chan is sending out to all of our Patreon people, he's sending out magnets and stickers with the season four logo as we prepare for season five. Now, it turned out there's a lot more cartoon G.I. Joe than even I thought that there was, and I thought I had a pretty good handle on it. So I wanted to take a second and let my co-hosts, as well as you, the audience, know the roadmap of years and years of more G.I. Joe content, because it turns out, and you maybe some of y'all knew this, I didn't, and I thought I knew things. So it turns out that there's another series of G.I. Joe that comes out about 4 years after the Deke era called G.I. Joe Extreme, which was mid-90s and is tangentially related to G.I. Joe. It's just called G.I. Joe, but like none of the characters are the same, and there isn't even Cobra. And Sergeant Savage from Sergeant Savage and his Screaming Eagles is the main character.
What are you even doing with a G.I. Joe show with no Cobra?
I don't understand the words that are coming out of your mouth.
Yeah, it's wild. So we're going to be doing all 26 episodes of G.I. Joe Extreme. Then there's a bunch of DVDs that I purchased because I had to buy them all. So I bought a whole bunch of things. So we have Valor versus Venom, Spy Troops, and Ninja something. There's a
These
Ninja
sound
one.
Like spin-offs of the Robert Rodriguez like Spy Kids series.
It is that,
or, yeah, or like a like an Air Buds kind of thing. Are these all dogs as G.I. Joe? Is that what's happening?
I'd watch that
for anybody. Oh, Ninja Battles, that's what it's called. Ninja Battles from 2004. So we have a few of these movies and short films. Then we have G.I. Joe Sigma 6, which is a cartoon show that aired in the mid-aughts. So they took some time off and came back to it. And then we have G.I. Joe Renegades and G.I. Joe Resolute and the live action movies. Guys, 26 episodes of G.I. Joe Sigma 6, 26 episodes of G.I. Joe Renegades, 26 episodes of G.I. Joe Extreme. Look, if we pace this out correctly, we've got three, 4 more years of content.
Four more years.
We will literally take you through the Biden administration with and still have more G.I. Joe left to go. Chan, I know you're excited. Tell me your feelings.
Here's the thing. We stumbled upon, or like you told us about this before we started recording, and it hurt real bad. Hearing it again, it doesn't hurt any less. It still hits me with the same. In fact, once you started throwing in that, we're going to be going through the Biden administration, at least a term of it, that my soul crushed a little bit more. And even thinking about possibly a Kamala presidency after that did not redeem it, because then I would have to go and tarnish.
I think you mean Trump's second term. You're talking about 2024, right? Trump's second term.
Yeah, right. No, look. Muppet Show is coming back. That means we have left the darkest timeline. We are back to a world where there is hope, where there is optimism possible.
But I heard Trump is the showrunner for the Muppet Show.
A showrunner for, they're just airing the old episodes. They're not making a new Muppet show.
No, he's making them re-edit them.
But he's like, you take me out of like a Home Alone 2, I'm going to put myself into every Muppet movie. This is my Trump. So listen to it, get used to it. Because for the next 4 years, that's the impression I'm going to be doing. I'm a Trump, and I'm...
It kind of sounds like a mix between Sylvester Stallone and like every impression of every like dumb stoner in a improv show.
Well, I think that's doing a Trump impression. I think that's just, you know, we can get
look, I am going to become a famous voice actor if it kills me, and I gotta start somewhere. This is where I'm starting, so you know, just mark it down on the calendars. This is the beginning. I'm the next Frank Welker. You'll be able to see my progression as we go through.
What that means is like 30 years from now, some idiots who are doing a podcast are going to ask you to be on it and talk about your voiceover experience.
I just say, fast forward to the end of the Biden first administration in 2024. We're just finishing all the G.I. Joe content that we could have. And Robert Clark Chan is a famous voice actor known for playing a cartoon bear with that voice. And it's the only character he's ever done.
I'm a bear, and I'm stealing your lunches.
I'm editing myself into the Muppets. I'm a bear.
That slipped into Cosby. I don't know where that came from. But
I also like that his catchphrase is, I'm a bear. He just throws it in there repeatedly.
Look, I'm a voice impresario, not a writer.
Fair.
Despite the fact that I've written many things.
You are more so a writer than a voice actor.
How dare you? How dare you?
It's a whole new world.
Yeah. You won't even, I'm going to erase everything I've ever done. I'm going to erase all my IMDb credits and just start from scratch. Hey, I'm going to be Robert Chan, 18 now.
I think people tuned in to hear some sweet, sweet Deke era G.I. Joe recapping. And so far we've been avoiding that at all costs.
Hey, weird. Well, let's start the episode then, Gina. It's weird you'd be the one to keep us on track today.
Yeah, this is a whole new era.
I've got a lot of hatred towards this episode that I need to get out. Otherwise, it'll just sit in me like a big poop.
Well, you don't want to sit with a big poop. That's fair. So this episode is Infested Island. And this is where we get back to Cesspool. Now, this is the weird part. Because Cesspool was in an earlier episode that we did, a two-parter, where you get the origin story of Cesspool. He has the toxo sludge. And then he gets murdered at the end of the episode, which is crazy. But then here he is back again. But
you mean
I guess,
like,
okay,
stabbed in the heart, or do you mean like thrown into a vat of sludge? Because like sludge, as we all know, just gives you superpowers.
Yeah, I don't remember this death of which you speak.
If I remember correctly, he was trying to unleash this toxin, and he ended up getting like an overdose of toxin.
Died. No, he didn't die. He just got like mutated into this thing that he is now.
That was the first vat. I believe there was another.
There's more than one vat.
There were a lot of vats in that.
This is a vat heavy series.
Dang.
I think. You have to be the 90s in general, like Batman. I guess that was 89, but come on, that's the 90s, right? We can all agree that 89 is the 90s.
We can also agree that 91 is the 80s. I mean, just for the sake of argument, you know.
I mean, obviously, if it goes one way, it goes the other way. That's just math. We all know that, right? Why are you even bringing it up? What was I saying? I
<don't know. laughs> we're all being thrown into vats, I think.
Yeah, that holds up.
Yeah.
So we open this episode with a jungle, and there's bio sludge. Cesspool is out and about, and he's shooting his bio sludge at the Joes. He's trying to escape.
Yeah, I would say that this wanton destruction of forest is reminiscent of the original Sunbow era, when you know, pretty much every episode someone was like, fuck forests, and just bowled over a bunch of trees and wildlife and things. So I had high hopes for this episode because it starts with classic villain destroying forests.
Well, yeah, but this is Captain Planet era. So like the whole I'm destroying the environment because I'm evil. Honestly, rub me really the wrong way, because I'm like, well, we raised a generation of idiots who don't understand what horrible CEOs are actually doing.
Yeah.
So not that they're doing it for evil. They're just, amassing on hoarding money and destroying anything other way because, you know, it's easiest. Second, this feels very Harvey Weinstein-y. And I think we said he shot bio sludge into a plant that this whole mess would resolve itself a lot sooner.
If someone had just watched this episode and then when Weinstein ejaculated into a plant, they were like, oh, you're cesspooling me.
Yes. Weinstein is a respectable name, but like cesspool, you're like, oh no, that guy's terrible. We should prosecute him.
Yeah. He pulled a full on cesspool.
Yeah.
Here's the first thing that I didn't like about it is that because cesspool says, I want to turn the Redlands into a toxic wasteland. But no explanation is given. And here's the thing, he sort of stumbles upon a good plan when he realizes his sludge turns bugs giant. But before that, his only goal is let's turn this forest into a toxic wasteland. And no matter how insane the Cobra plots are, they always have some sort of point. Like even when Cobra Commander was like, I'm going to put my face on the moon. It was because he was like, I want everyone to fucking see my face on the moon so that they know I'm in charge of Earth. And this is literally just they didn't even try to justify it. And I'm pissed.
This is my biggest problem with Captain Planet. And look, I'm just going to repeat what you guys said because I had this whole thing written out and then you guys literally said every single thing I thought, which is that's my problem with I wrote here Captain Planet villain without question because there's never a motivation. There's never a way he's going to monetize it. There's never a way that he's going to destroy the forest because blank. It's just I'm going to destroy the forest because I'm evil. And that's bullshit. Like that is just such a not worthwhile storyline to follow down. Like have a reason. Give him some depth. Also, you have every chance to do something good here and you choose not to.
It doesn't need to be a good reason. He literally could have just said, it could have been one line where he's talking to a henchman who's like, why are we doing this? And then he could say, the government owns this forest. I'm going to turn it into a toxic wasteland and then ransom it back to them. If they want it cleaned up, then they'll need to pay me.
There you go. Or even this forest reminds me of my mother. That alone would have been okay by me.
Wait, are you saying he shot his toxic sludge into his mother, you sick fuck?
Listen.
Wow,
I'm
Ray,
not
why did you
I'm
have
not
to go
the one
there.
Doing it. I'm just saying, like, it would make sense.
Ray, you need to see a therapist.
Wow, is Ray supporting Harvey Weinstein now?
Yeah,
is that what he's saying?
He clearly came out as pro-Weinstein just there.
Oof.
Guys, I don't know if you've heard my other podcast, MR Ray, where I talk all about men's rights. So, hashtag not all men. Thank you, Gina. Also, it's actually been morphing a little bit into a QAnon podcast. So,
yes, inevitably.
It inevitably one's going to go to the other. So there's a lot of really interesting theories I've been talking about on MRA about the upcoming election. Because we think the election happened. I don't think so. There's a military election happening right now, guys. And that's going to actually determine who the president is. So tune in to the new episode of MRA. I lay it all out for you. What are we talking about again?
No, I think we covered all of it.
Okay,
the important
excellent.
Bits.
So cesspool shoots his sludge, his bio sludge. Mm-hmm. His what was it called?
For he no shoots reason. His Weinstein. Again, for no reason, which makes me furious.
Well no, probably tank. Because an actress turned him down. I feel like that's the reason.
So, yeah. But he shoots it and it hits a bug and the bug grows many sizes and he's like, oh crap, I can make, so it melts metal, but if you hit an organic bug with it, it will turn the bug into a giant monster. This is the most amazing formula. I feel like Billy Mays should be selling it.
And here's the thing. I'm pissed because it wasn't even like he was like, doop-a-doo, I'm going to destroy a forest. No reason. Oh, crap, a big bug. Now I got a plan. Like literally all they had to do was just have him accidentally spill some of that sludge on a bug. And then it gets big. But instead they have this elaborate he's destroying the forest for no reason we can think of. And now he has a plan. Like either have no plan or have a plan. I don't like this at all. It's bad writing.
Well, how about the fact that if you were to shoot and melt down an entire rainforest, You're telling me there were no bugs in there until he accidentally hit this one? There are millions of bugs in these rainforests who should have already mutated prior to this singular one.
That's a good point. Does it work on like the little micro bugs that are on pretty much on everything? Because that would be horrendous.
Terrifying, micro but there's bugs? A horror movie.
Yeah, there's bugs on everything, Chan. You just can't see them.
You mean like germs?
Yeah, and 5G mutated bugs.
Okay, let's talk about 5G mutated bugs, because I have a whole show. Oh, sorry, I forgot what show I was on. I'm sorry.
I was just trying to tee Ray up. There we go. We're good. We can move on.
I was just waiting for the pause.
Ray's paying for us to mention his MR Ray podcast. We just have to do it organically. So just go with me, Gina. When I do this thing, just like... Make it seem like it's not planned.
You guys know that MR Ray bought ad time for this episode. You know that, right?
I feel like I'm still hung up on the fact that he had no plan and was just destroying things. I feel like at some point an executive probably said to him, like, oh, so why? So probably said to the writers, like, wait, so why is he doing it? And one of them probably said, like, oh, some people just like to watch the world burn.
Oh boy.
And then, wow. And then they were like, all right, that sounds like a good idea for a villain. And then they wrote this.
Was Christopher Nolan writing on G.I. Joe Deke era?
He wasn't, but he was walking by the office when the writer said that. And he was like, it's like a 7-year-old Christopher Nolan. And he was walking by the office and he heard that. And he goes, that gives me an idea.
I need to learn how to make films now.
Now that we're 20 minutes into this episode, let's get past the opening credits.
So I do like that the giant bug immediately pushes him into a ravine.
Loved it. Yeah. It attacks him.
But he manages not to die.
Regrettable. So we advance the plot 4 months following the opening credits. We have a video call.
I missed that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
4 months have now gone by. And we now now they're being alerted to a new toxic weapon. So I just wrote down here 4 million. So was he asking for $4 million to not use the weapon?
No. Cobra Commander said he had given him 4 months and $4 million.
Thank you. That's why.
To fund this thing that he had no idea what it was.
That's apparently out of character for Cobra Commander, by the way.
Exactly. He has $4 million to just throw at a crazy person for question mark. And then later on, he's like, oh, you did a really good job. I will give you a $5 raise.
$5
and
bonus.
That is what irritates me about this friggin' show.
Yeah. No consistency.
Well, I just think 4 months, $4 million, realistically speaking, that's not a lot of money for the type of project we are talking about.
Look, it was 1989. That's approximately $3 trillion today, Ray.
Still not a lot of money for something this on this level.
Yeah,
I would argue.
If you're making giant bugs, you deserve more than $4 million.
I mean, we don't know. Like, you might just need a drop per bug. Like, he probably had enough sludge to begin with that all he had to do was, like, walk around and see a bug and put a drop on that bug, and then he's got giant bugs. How much
we
does that-
saw the process. He had multiple vats, and he had to dunk the whole cage into the vat.
I'm just saying, I'll do it for whatever he's doing it for, I'll do it for half.
That's fair. That's how you get ahead in this business.
Exactly.
The business of bug in beginning.
Yeah, Chan, don't shit on my bug dreams.
Wow.
I'm just saying, it's a real niche market. I don't
look. It's people like you that think I want but I can't, and then there's other people that think I can't but I will. You know, like that famous quote.
Yeah. Jen, you talk about niche markets. You know what else is a niche market? Pokemon porn. And yet you still go to it. So I would argue no problem.
Look, I got to pay my bill somehow. This kid's got to eat. And if Pokemon porn's the way I got to do it, well, just let me pull down my pants and call my penis Pikachu.
Wait, you're telling me you prefer to stick with Pokemon porn when you could be making Bugs Giant?
If you had to choose between the two, Chan, come on, be real.
I'm not shaming anyone for their life choices. I'm just saying,
look,
there are
in a capitalist society, we don't always have choices in what we do.
It's fair. It's we're more Starship Troopers world than we'd like to admit. That's for sure. Speaking
it's
of giant
afraid.
Bugs. So the giant, they got the giant bugs eating the city. It's eating buildings. And so they can bring out Clean Sweep, who's on his glider, and he crashes. That was exciting. And they insist the
mayor... We can all agree that they just took the animation from an Insecticons episode and just, like, traced over it, right?
Without question, yeah. Listen, nobody cared in any of this. Like, they want the mayor of, I think, San Francisco to surrender the city.
Yeah, which is... I was trying to figure out how they chose that city. And then I was like, all right, I guess they want a densely populated city. Is that like the logic? Like, I don't know. I don't know how they chose San Francisco. If I was going to use big bugs to attack places, I'd start with the stupid states.
You'd start with the stupid states. Gina, what's a stupid state?
No, okay, I want to be president someday. I can't answer that, but yeah, it starts with Florida.
Starts with Florida. It's fair.
This is your problem with the idea of surrendering a city to a terrorist.
Yeah.
Like, how do you
San Francisco? When, like, if it, like, are you telling me the terrorists are targeting San Francisco?
What power does a mayor have? A. B. What does it mean when he surrenders a city to a person? Does that person own everything in the city?
No, it's he. Obviously, it's to save lives. He gives them a giant gold key filled with chocolate, and then he takes a giant pair of scissors and cuts a ribbon, and then that terrorist owns that city. Haven't you ever seen movies?
So the whole point of these giant bugs attacking is so that they would give him a ceremonial key. I feel like there's easier ways to. I feel like you could go down to Kinko's and get a copy made of a ceremonial key.
No, that's not official. That's like printing a, you know, a wedding license online. That's not official.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I said I was not able to print one online, so this all checks out.
All
my
I hear
mistake.
You guys
carry
say
on.
Is mayor of San Francisco Gavin Newsom let us down again? Surrendering to terrorists, allowing giant bugs. Oh, I forgot what show I was on again. Excuse me.
I feel like Jerry Brown was the mayor of San Francisco around this time. So, like, let's let it is.
You know, if that's true, he would have defeated them.
Oh, yeah, he absolutely would have.
He would have defeated those giant bugs and then somehow would have had an excess of several trillion dollars.
He would have wonked them into submission.
Yeah. And they would have liked
it. Looking it up now. No, I really want to know this. Actually, in 1991, the mayor of San Francisco was Art Agnos. So,
Spyro T. Agnew?
I don't know who the hell that is. I cannot help.
Weirdly enough, other people that are being searched for along this line, Harvey Milk, Thomas Jefferson, and Gavin Newsom. So, you know, really, you get the whole spectrum.
You type in mayor of San Francisco, and someone's like, what? Thomas Jefferson, was he mayor of San Francisco at some point? I feel like I've read that somewhere.
You know, someday someone's going to be listening to this podcast and they're going to take everything that we say as fact and it's going to be, and we're going to get in trouble.
No. When the alien archaeologists come down, this is going to be the only thing left of our civilization.
Isn't that great?
Like, this is a wild time.
It's what's that movie with Haley Joel Osment where he's a little robot boy?
Sixth Sense.
Small Wonder.
Yeah, exactly. Small Wonder, Sixth Sense. It's a mashup you never knew you wanted.
It turns out Gavin Newsom didn't become mayor of San Francisco until 2004. Now we have all our answers because that's how long it took Gavin Newsom to lose to the bugs. I don't know. Okay.
This is a very specific reference that only Californians enjoy.
Well, it's really just for us anyway, this show.
Wait a minute. Does anybody listen to this show outside of like a 3-mile radius of where we all are?
I feel like most of our fans are not California based.
Yeah, almost none of our listeners are in Los Angeles.
I feel like once you leave Sun Valley, there's no value to this podcast whatsoever.
I always thought Los Angeles is basically like Dark City and there just is nothing outside of it.
Yeah.
There's just rumors.
I feel like if they were in California, we would be having like regular watch parties with Psycho Andy and Channing Sherman. And since that has not happened, that makes me think they are not California boys.
Wait a minute, you would have invited them over to your house to watch?
Look, didn't we watch the G.I. Joe movie with Steve Moulton?
Yes, we did.
I wouldn't invite you people over to my house to watch things.
He's also correct. Yes, that is a factual statement.
We did watch it at your house. We watched a G.I. Joe movie with Steve Moulton at your house.
Still yet more factual statements.
This was
there's this video was evidence times. Of it. There is video evidence of it.
And we had Little Caesar pizza. It was delightful.
Yeah, we had some beers.
Guys, go back and find those episodes. They are magical. Drunk? There is a video, a YouTube video of our live stream. We live streamed it. We all watched together and it was wonderful. Anyway.
G.I. Joe will return after these messages.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
That Joe's in trouble.
No, the Cobras are in trouble. That Joe is Sergeant Slaughter.
Don't mess with Sergeant Slaughter. He's as strong as they come. I've seen him take on 100 Cobras and set them on the run.
Meet Sergeant Slaughter and his Triple T tank.
Sergeant Slaughter is now a part of G.I. Joe.
G.I. Joe.
A real American hero.
Live the adventure of G.I. Joe.
And look out, Cobra.
Sergeant Slaughter comes with Triple T tank. Cobra figures and equipment sold separately.
Now back to G.I. Joe.
Moving forward, Cesspool gives a big old speech, and that's great. And so, okay, Ozone, who is apparently a member of the Joe team and part of this Eco Force, he stows away on the Cobra ship and goes back in. Of course, gets thrown into a vat and mutates, and maybe there's an antidote somewhere.
I'm not going to lie. This I found intriguing, mostly because I was hoping that they would leave him as is, sort of like the Fly-esque, and it was just going to be real dark. Like, it was going to be a really dark ending where they, like, try to fix him and can't, and he goes off into the jungle by himself and, like, and, you know, they're sort of watching and crying. That's what I expected out of this children's cartoon.
Yeah,
he puts on his best Fly suit. No. Because we skipped over a couple of things. One of which was the lady who looks outside, sees the building being eaten by these Insecticons. She turns around to like get a cup of coffee or something like that. The Joes like wrap up the bugs with like a grappling hook and then yanks them off, and she turns around and they're gone and goes like, huh, and goes back and sits down, goes right back to work.
Yeah. See, here's the thing. So today I chatted Ray and Chan and said, we should start doing F Mary Kill again. And Chan brought up the good point that none of us can tell any of these guys apart, who I didn't even realize were Joes. I thought this was like a whole new thing. I thought this was like a spinoff that they were trying to do of, like, Eco Joes or something like that. I don't know who the hell these guys are.
It was a whole toy line.
I don't like it.
They were just trying to sell.
I don't like it.
It's the worst.
Yeah, and then different Flint is their leader, but not voiced by Bill Ratner.
Yeah, I don't like it. I've recently come to terms with the fact that I really don't like change. I'm trying to change it about myself, but it's an inherent,
It's a paradox.
Yeah, exactly. Paradox. Exactly. But I hate change, and this is slowly killing me. But I brought up, like, let's go back to doing Fuck, Marry, Kill, the familiar days, if you will, since I hate change. And Chan said, we can't tell any of these guys apart. Who cares? And I said, no, you would do something like one of the giant bugs, the lady who is like getting coffee, and Cesspool or something like that, because this lady also made an impression on me. Also, by the way, the only woman in this episode. She has no lines and she's an idiot. But at some point,
Yeah, and somebody was asking us, like, why did we stop doing the Bechdel test? There's your answer.
You can't have a Bechdel test. The answer is there are no women in the episode.
There are no women in D-Care.
The misogyny runs so deep in these things.
But at some point, Cesspool says to these sort of Joes, these Joes I don't know.
It's sort of Joes is the correct term. Go ahead and use that.
Joes, yeah, that's fair.
These Trader Joe's Jojos that aren't really Oreos.
No. I love Trader Joe's Jojos.
Yeah,
especially
right.
The thin Joes.
Yeah.
So don't you dare put them in the
good.
Same
but they're
sentence.
They're not Oreos, though. They're different.
No.
But at some point, Cesspool says to them, hey, like, come here. I'm going to show you an example of my newest terrible thing. And so then the Joes go, and a bunch of like city eating bugs show up. And one of the Joes says, only one guy would mess with nature like that, Cesspool. As if Cesspool didn't one scene earlier say, hey, you guys, come on over. I'm going to show you this horrible thing that I have. And it's such weird writing. It's like
only one guy would come on TV, tell us to be here, and then do the thing he said he would do when we got here.
Yeah, Cesspool. Yeah. It's like if I invited you guys to my house, let you in the door, and then you said only one person would have a house like this, Gina.
Well, Gina, having seen the inside of your house, really only one person could have a house like this.
Yeah, that is an amazing Star Wars rug, by the way.
It's dope as shit, right?
Yeah,
I'm pretty proud of that. It's looking pretty good in here. Pretty good, pretty nerdy.
Real quick.
Whimpering wallabies. Look at that.
I don't know who this fucking Australian dude is, but to make him say whimpering wallabies, that is, I mean, I don't, I didn't want to say that it's racist because it wasn't racist, but whatever that version of it is for Australian guys, that's what happened to
them.
I don't understand how you think you're gonna put an Australian person on the show and not have them say whimper and wallabies.
This again reminds me of really bad improv, which might be why Ray enjoys it and would probably do it in an improv scene, but absolutely. It's like a 101 improv class where, you know, like people are doing a scene and one guy who thinks he can do a great Australian accent and wants to label himself as Australian right away. And he just walks into a scene and goes, whimpering wallabies, what y'all doing in here?
Can I tell you a story from improv? Because you just reminded me of one of the saddest moments of my life.
Well, now you've done it, Gina.
I had this idea for this character. And do I even remember the character anymore? No. But I remember that I had this idea of this character. Like, oh, I'm going to do this character all the time. I put a lot of thought into it. I'm going to bust it out in scenes with my group, and it's going to be fun. And so I'm waiting. And I know this is like the practice session. I'm going to bust it out, right? And mm-hmm. So things are sort of just going. And then the scene starts about halfway through the class. And I'm just like, fuck it. This is it. I'm busting out the character. So I literally do one line as this voice as the character, which I don't remember the voice anymore. I just remember I did it. And I did one line setting the scene as this character as something crazy. And then I didn't even get any further because the teacher's like, okay, this is all just going sideways. This is no good. guys, okay, we need to have a talk about what we're doing today because this is all just so bad.
They could smell it on you.
I never tried the character again because it got shut down so quickly. And it wasn't like it was dirty or anything. It just apparently was so bad. It was worth stopping rehearsal to have a chat. Anyway, sorry, you just reminded me of that. It's a very distressing and sad moment for Ray. So.
This sounds right. This checks out.
This show is my therapy. This is how I have to do it. Anyway, there's a broadcast, and they decide they're going to attack the island. So they know where Cesspool is because Ozone, I believe, gave him some coordinates. Look, I watched this like a week ago, so it's not exactly fresh in my mind.
Damn it, Ray.
Yeah, things happen. You know, what are you going to do? So they decide they're going to attack the island, and Ozone, of course, gets captured, giving away the coordinates. And they decide, so they're going to mutate him. That's the thing.
Yeah, he gets captured because earlier, when the insects are attacking the city, one of the Joes comes down with a helicopter. He's like, grab on, and these two children, they're children because he calls them kids, grab onto the pontoon, and he flies them away to safety. A helicopter. Flying over a city with two children hanging on by their fingers, just their normal hands, no harness, no nothing, just jumping on, just flying away to safety. In this instance, this Ozone fella, Toxo, what's his face, flies his little
Toxo Joe.
He flies his helicopter, and Ozone grabs on with his fingertips and flies how many hundreds of miles to an offshore island?
Hundreds.
Where all of this is taking place, just hanging on, and they get there, and he just like pops off and just like scampers away to hide in the base. And I was so incensed that not only did they make that ridiculous thing, could all he had to do was like take a grappling hook, whip it around the leg of the helicopter and fly away. I'm fine with that.
That wouldn't have been
he grabs on with his fucking hands, and then they double down on it by having children do the same thing earlier. I was like, I get that it's a fucking fantasy world, but Jesus Christ, man.
Are you telling me you're raising a kid that can't do that shit?
Thank you.
I mean, look, the third time that I tried hanging Egon out of the window by his fingertips, they called the cops on me. And you know what? I don't need that kind of mess.
Sounds like
I
don't need to have snitchy neighbors, and that's your problem. That and a weak kid.
Those are both huge problems that I absolutely need to correct, according to Gina.
Take that, NoHo Arts District.
I feel like even without that made up story about hanging Egon out the window, that is still something Gina would say about my child. And you know what? It is what it is.
Yeah, you got to live. You got to live.
I do enjoy calling friends kids pussies.
Yeah, it's weird when it's girls in a bathroom, well, 3-year-old girls in the bathroom. Yelling about their pussies is not, I mean, I'm just going to go and say it. You're not going to be president with that kind of attitude.
I'm preparing them for the real world.
So let's talk about Toxo Joes, because Ozone gets submerged by the thing and he gets turned into a giant bug fly monster.
Yeah.
And they're going to use him to attack G.I. Joe as being like, look, and to be fair, this is scary shit. Like, if you're a member of G.I. Joe and Cobra captures one of your own and he turns him into this mutant flying bug monster, and they say, I'm going to do this shit to all of you in time, and then you're going to attack your friends, I would not want to be in G.I. Joe anymore. I'll go ahead and say it. That would turn me away.
That's all it would take? God, you're a pussy too.
I mean, I was already out when Roadblock started rhyming, so, you know, fair. I'm not going to judge fair. Ray for wanting to bail.
Really? You were out? That was in Sunbow era.
You know what? It's just too much. It's too much. I have had to deal with too many theater kids who just had to do their thing constantly.
I feel I would be out once I watched my loved ones turn into bubblegum and potato chips in front of my very eyes, and I awoke to find out that I really didn't have any loved ones and I was alone. I would tap out.
End of season one is what you're saying. I thought you were talking about the Synthoid conspiracy like two episodes into the series. Like, nope, I'm gone.
No, I'm talking about Welcome to Springfield.
Right.
Wait a minute. Did Gina just correctly name an episode of G.I. Joe?
Look, it's like, Funbo G.I. Joe is like the college boyfriend that you have who, when you look back on as an adult, you're like, oh, that he was actually like a nice guy compared to like the shitbags that live in L.A. Like that one guy was perfectly fine living in Pennsylvania with his wife and two daughters and, you know, probably not molesting anyone or doing anything weird. He was a pretty, pretty okay guy.
You want to just go ahead and give us home address and name here so we can send him postcards, or what are we doing here?
I mean, don't get me wrong. I don't want to go back and rewatch it, just like I don't want to go back and sleep with my college boyfriend ever again. But
Gina, he's divorced now. He's free and clear.
He just got a job in LA.
I still don't want it. I've had it. I don't want it anymore. But yeah, you know, you look back on it and you're like, oh, okay, it got worse after that. It got worse.
Can we talk about the most grotesque thing about this Toxo Joe fella,
yes,
Ozone please. Now mutated, is that he's got, you know, bug eyes, antenna, mandibles, or whatever, and he still has his beard.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say he still has a sweet, sweet butt.
What? What? Oh, no, because you sent that picture of...
Yes.
He's hanging off of a thing, and they clearly gave him, like, a sweet bug butt. It's weird.
I don't understand why I get shit for, like, the one... Okay, 8 times that I made you all watch Pokemon porn, and yet Gina's... The number of times Gina has texted us in the middle of the day, apropos of nothing, with a picture of an animated butt, it just my day is shot after that. It just does. Jen, there's nothing more that can be accomplished.
Pictures of butts.
Yeah, yeah. And here's the thing. This is like you're saying this now. You're gonna be going around like complaining about like, oh God, my friend is always sending me cartoon butts, sweet, sweet cartoon butts. And then next week, I'm going to get hit by a truck in a freak, weird accident. I'm going to be totally dismembered. So you definitely know I'm not coming back. It's going to all happen on camera. So my death will happen on camera. And then you'll be walking around one day and you'll see like a chalk drawing of a cartoon stick figure with a sweet butt on the ground, and a single tear will roll down your eye as you realize you haven't been sent a sweet, sweet butt in a week.
Butts in the wind. All we are is butts in the wind.
As the chalk drawing somehow blows away.
As you were narrating that in my head, that song was playing, and I was like, you know what? I wasn't on board, but once my brain edited that soundtrack, like, well, yeah, like, yeah, absolutely, I'm going to be crying. I'm going to be at the funeral and just like. Drawing that little curve and then the little curve next to it, like on the pews, and they're just like that's a butt. That's for you, Gina.
Guys, I want to talk about ozone as an insect right
now.
Oh,
really? You're changing the subject from cartoon butts?
Immediately. Nurosovy's got a great butt, but I want to talk about what exactly, because Chan, you talked about part of it. So he's still man-sized, except his hands and feet have been turned into claws. He's got two giant bug eyes and mandibles, but mm-hmm. to what you said, he keeps his beard and somehow a mohawk, which is real great. So they have him chained up in the cesspool lair. And the Joes come in, they're like, oh, we're going to beat you up. And he's like, yo, look at your friend. They're like, oh, crap. And then so Ozone starts getting weird, and he's just like, I'm chained up. I can't do anything. He just turns down, spits in his chain. The chain dissolves. He jumps on a cage, releases a helicopter-sized insect from inside this cage, and then flies it away. And all the Joes are sort of standing there like, yeah, this is a pretty normal Tuesday for us. Like, no one is affected.
I mean, that's really, that's a badass bug right there. Like,
it's crazy.
Like, if he can get his emotions in check, his bug emotions in check, I would suggest they leave him as is.
Just, yeah, because he can do some damage on this bug. Plus, he's terrifying.
Yeah.
And he's probably one of the coolest looking characters in all of the Teak Era G.I. Joe. He's way cooler looking than Cesspool. Let me start there.
Because of the butt, right?
Yes, because of his butt.
I can't remember any of the Joes. This is the only memorable thing any of them has done.
Yes.
So there is something to be said for that. That, like, give, like, if you have to turn one of them into a bug to give them a personality, that's a problem at, I don't know, probably the script level, maybe further back, though. I mean, maybe we have to go even further back.
Well, so he leaves on his giant bug. He has a change of heart, turns around almost immediately to come back, jumps. This is crazy. He jumps off the bug from, what, 50 stories above the base?
Big old no bug, yeah, I know.
He grabs a satellite dish, rides it all the way down. Another G.I. Joe member comes by, sprays him with antidote. He immediately turns back into a man and keeps fighting.
Yeah, I wonder if he's going to have some internal distress later on. Like,
he's going to have some explosive diarrhea.
He's been vomiting up bug bile a lot when he was a bug, and I'm sure he probably ate a few things like poop when he was that bug. So
that's a bug thing to do.
Yeah, I feel like a couple hours after he turns back to normal, he's gonna be like, oh no.
Ooh, hold on.
Ozone, don't you recognize us?
Yeah, mate, remember me? You're old mate from down under.
Okay, I feel comfortable calling that racist now. You're old mate from down under.
It's a wobbly knobbly.
Oh, look, remember when we all go used to wrestle wallabies together because I'm from down under? Australia, mate, you know, the place that's under the earth.
So Ozone decides he wants to fly. So he's given a glider by the guy who saved him. He ends up flying the glider in. Now they're about to literally drop a cage with a Joe in it into the vat. And so this is his superpower, obviously. He flies the glider into the falling cage and then slowly carries it with the tip of the glider. This is a gigantic house-sized cage. He flies it with the tip of the glider and then lets it gently fall on the ground where it comes apart. Okay, fantastic. And then, so then they just overpower Cobra Commander. Because he's here now, the $5 bonus thing happened.
Wait, hold on. I forgot. When he delivers the antidote, when this scientifically produced gas gets sprayed and turns Fucko into a human again. Did you hear that sound?
It was a magic sound.
Play it again.
Oh, wow, fairy dust.
Yeah, that was a magic sound, and I hate it.
That made me so mad.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah, hilarious. They can't have an episode where it claims science, like, oh, this sludge turns you, like, changes you at your cellular core into a giant bug man, and then have a magical sign, sound.
Yeah.
That's all I ask.
Here's the deal. I mean, I'm on board for magic. More magic in G.I. Joe, I'm saying. So then yes.
No. If you want to go full ghost and just have, you know, Scooby-Doo shit happening all the time, I'm fine with that. But don't pretend like we're going to be any sort of like military, scientifically based organization.
The science of magic.
Just do like King Arthur or some shit.
Interesting. Okay, so Cobra Commander and Cesspool try to run away to an opening in the base, and a whole bunch of bugs fill the air. Fantastic, but they've all been sprayed with the antidote. So we get the really shitty thing that they do too often in this series, where the bad guy or whoever puts their hands over their eyes and says, I don't want to see the thing in front of me. And then, of course, it's not really a danger, but they keep their hands over their eyes for far, 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 far too long.
Yeah,
and
it's
the joke burns itself out real quick.
Yeah, it's pretty weird. I thought the same thing. Like, I was like, okay, it's a good bit for a half a second.
Yeah.
And then it can't sustain.
Yeah. But you said you get Cobra Commander and Cesspool for like a full 40 seconds, not wanting to look at the bugs, which are now normal sized, and no one is telling them, and they're not even trying, and nobody's even punching them in the head. Like, something's got to happen.
Also, this was another one of those moments where they've got their eyes closed. There's three Joes right in front of them. Just handcuff them. Handcuff them there. Yeah. Take them into custody.
In all caps, my notes, why aren't they arresting him? They're like, hey, we turned your bugs little. And we're taking the disc with your formula and we're dismantling your lab. And then they just stand there and wait for the fucking Cobra guys to come and take them away.
Yeah.
I was so pissed about
that. And then they kind of, don't they sort of act surprised? Like when a helicopter takes them away in front of their very eyes. Like, first of all, that's not going to happen quick. You see that helicopter, you hear that helicopter coming. That's coming for a few minutes. And then they're just watching.
They also closed their eyes and just waited.
And then they're like, oh, they're gone, I guess.
We should definitely do something about that, huh? You think maybe we could like, I don't know, walk over there and like hold their arm or something like that. Like,
it's even worse than that because there's a bunch of bugs out there. And, you know, we've established earlier, we didn't really talk about it. There's like a sound which makes a move, you know. And so the helicopter shows up to take away the bugs. Cesspool and Cobra Commander are at the edge of the cave We cut back to the Joes. We cut back to the edge of the cave. Cesspool and Cobra Commander are just not there. Yeah. The helicopter has not moved from its position, and the helicopter just takes the bugs away. So they don't really explain what specifically happened here. Deke did not want to animate anymore. That is not clear.
No.
And that's our episode. Infested Island, everybody. Guys, what did we think of Infested Island?
Oh, it's trash.
Oh, I loved it. Oh, it's fantastic. 4 stars.
It infested my brain.
Out of 1,000. It was.
Well, I still want to know why Cesspool wanted to turn that forest into a toxic wasteland.
Because he's evil, Gina. That's what evil people do.
I would have forgiven this episode if they had not changed Ozone back. If he was just a freakish bug man wandering around the jungle. It would have been even better, too, if one of his mates, maybe the Australian guy, was like, oh, we got to put a bullet in him. He's an abomination.
Only got one mate, Gina.
And then as Ozone is like sad bug walking away, you just see crosshairs trained on him, but they can't do it. And then 20 years from now, a bunch of kids start disappearing from local towns.
Oh boy.
And the legend is told about a half man, half bug. And like these old grizzled, now old and grizzled G.I. Joe guys are like, we should have killed him when we had the chance, but I couldn't do it. I won't make that mistake again.
That sounds like a really good
He's
movie
my
that we should write.
He's my mate.
That thing just wrote itself. Holy shit. What a cool movie.
Excuse me. It didn't write itself. I, a professional writer, wrote it.
Guys, the whole thing just came together from nothing without even any effort or skill necessary. Guys, you saw it, right?
You realize in the time it took to record this episode, you could have written another pilot, Gina. But no, you're here.
That's really good. Okay, so we loved it. So a little bit of this reminds me of the Iceberg Goes South episode of season 2 of Sunbow, when Iceberg it turns into like a giant whale. God. If you guys remember that episode where they kind of spliced DNA together, like it kind of had feelings of that, except there was a certain body horror thing that I felt watching the Iceberg Go South episode. I never felt body horror here, mainly because they didn't really do a transformation. They just sort of blinked and he was a bug man. Like, there was nothing realistic about it, you know?
I feel like at some point they probably were like, hey, can someone watch the original G.I. Joe and give us some ideas? And someone was like, one of them turned into an animal. Oh, like a bug? I don't remember what it was.
Wind it up. Dude, this thing just wrote itself. We don't need a professional writer in the room. I believe that's how it mirrors.
Yeah, I feel like they had an assistant watch all the original G.I. Joes, and they were like, all right, can you tell us what happened? And they were like, oh, they destroy a lot of forests. Okay, why are they destroying the forest? Various reasons I don't remember. Okay, we just won't give a reason. Yeah, and then like a guy turns into a thing, and then Cobra's gone.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. Chan, I believe there's something else we need to do before we get out of here today.
I haven't even keeping track. I think this might be the last one of the rounds.
Well, then let's play it. I mean, do it live.
It's the theme song throwdown. We are here with patron Brian Rapp, who is gonna handle one of the big ones. One of the big pairings in this second round. Are you prepared? Are you prepared to be a fair and impartial judge?
It's a lot of pressure. Nobody's tried to buy me off. I'm not saying it can't be done, but at this point, I'm still fair and unbiased.
Excellent. So yeah, if you can hear this right now, which you can't, then you can send bribes to Brian Rapp. When you hear this, you send Brian Rapp money and then he will choose your song for you. If you are a time traveler, if you are a Tachyon and you work in reverse order, or if you're Merlin in the Once and Future King did that.
I think so.
All right. Just, yeah. I think so. So it is so. We're doing Cowboy Bebop versus Star Blazers. Have you heard either of these songs, or like, do you know them?
I may have heard them, but neither is a cartoon I watch, so I don't have any strong personal attachment to them.
All right. All right. Well, let's do this then. Here, once again, is the opening theme to Cowboy Bebop by Tank! Exclamation point.
I think it's time to blow this scene. Get everybody in the stuff together. Okay, 3, 2, 1, let's jam.
What are your feelings?
Very easy to understand why it's progressed this far in the tournament.
Right.
It's a song I think I could listen to out of context, away from cartoons, and still enjoy.
Yeah, yeah. And also, just this time around, I got a lot of, it reminds me a lot of the Venture Brothers theme song, which is J.G. Thirlwell, who's an amazing Australian, used to be like an industrial dude. And I love his old industrial stuff too. And so like when he was like doing all this brassy stuff for Venture Brothers, like, hell yeah.
Yeah. It uses a lot of elements you don't hear in many cartoon theme songs.
Yeah. Yeah. And just as iconic, even though nobody friggin' knows it, to me, this means something. It's the theme, to season one of Star Blazers.
Space. We're leaving Mother Earth to save the human race. Our Star Blazers, searching for a distant star, heading off to Iskandar, leaving all we love behind. Who knows what dangers we'll find? We must be strong and brave. Our home we've got to save. If we don't, in just 1 year, Mother Earth will disappear. Fighting with the Gamelons, we won't stop until we've won. Then we'll return, and when we arrive, the Earth will survive with our Star Blazers.
That is Star Blazers, which was an Americanization of Space Battleship Yamato, and it was like, you know, like late 70s, early 80s, so like that was before anime had crested the wave here in the States. And if you're looking for anime, that's all you got. That's it. Yeah. Just Star Blazers.
So what I like about it is the song has stakes.
Yeah,
they tell you kind of the story of why they exist, and the Earth has a year left. So you know right away that big things are about to happen.
Yeah, freaking Pokemon's like, I want to be good. Who cares? Who cares? The goddamn Earth is at stake, man.
Yeah, so I think I like the rhythm to it, too. You know, it's very, as a kid, I think it would be very easy to kind of memorize and sing back. And as I kind of mentioned in one of the earlier recordings that I have a tendency to favor the songs that have words. So that's a point in its favor.
Yeah. I thought I was smart because this was my top seed. Like, this is the song that most resonates with me in my childhood. And it just it went up against kind of a gimme, Electro Woman and Dyna Girl in the first round. Great song, but like nobody's gonna vote for that. But it now is up against the only other song that I might vote against Star Blazers for, Cowboy Bebop. So like, I have to leave it completely in your hands. You have to decide which is the better theme song.
So this might be the underdog, maybe a bit of a Cinderella story here, but I think I'm going to go with Star Blazers.
Star Blazers, really? Explain yourself, young man.
Well, like I said, it's a song that actually has words I could sing. You know, the musical composition is great in both, but my personal preference would, especially thinking back to when I was a kid watching these sorts of shows, that I liked something I could latch onto and easily sing along to as a kid at home to get psyched up. You know, just listening to the musical aspects, you know, without the words, I might get a little bit bored. It's probably my own negatives, but that's, I think you've got, you know, a tough battle here, but I just had to go with Star Blazers.
That is sound logic. Yeah, like you sort of have to like think about what it is a cartoon theme song is meant to do. And yeah, I think you're right that like a child would definitely latch up. Of course I know you're right, because I was a child and I latched onto that fucking song. It's great. So adult me, go fuck yourself. Child Chad survives for another round. Awesome. Thank you so much, Brian Rapp.
My pleasure.
Do you have anything you want to plug? You got stuff, or you want people to go places?
If anybody wants to go to law school, hit me up. I work at one. But other than that, no, nothing to plug.
Awesome. Thanks a lot, man. Really appreciate it.
Have a good one.
Wow, what a crazy decision. Are we down to the final 4chan?
I believe so.
Final 4chan.
What are the final four? I mean, I know because I've been listening, but.
Oh, God. Why would you do this?
Actually, we probably have the play-in game still to go, maybe. Because pole position might come back, everybody.
What are we doing?
We'll talk about it after the show, Chan. Don't worry about it. We'll figure this out during the next week. What a great tournament we've had. I hope you guys have enjoyed it. And it's not done yet, but I mean, like, enjoyed what we've done so far. Whew.
Beep, 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 beep.
Anyway, guys, that's our episode. I hope you enjoyed getting back to G.I. Joe. Look, this is Infested Island. Oh, and I had the whole list up a second ago, and then I closed it like a moron. Okay, so that was Infested Island. There are a handful more episodes to go. And if you let me vamp for two more seconds. Okay, so we have 7 more G.I. Joe episodes to go after this one. And then we have finished Deke. We have completely finished Deke. And I hope you're ready, because third from the last is Metalhead's Reunion. And the final one, of course, is the Clips episode, Legend of Metalhead. So if you haven't been getting enough Metalhead lately, be ready. He's coming.
Oh, boy.
But until next time, that is our episode. Chan, Gina, do you have anything you want to plug or give away your social medias or anything like that that you want to talk about?
I don't know what year or day it is, so I'm going to say no.
It's fair. It's fair. And Chan?
What?
So guys, you can also listen to me on the Who Would Win show. We do a lot of great battles. By the time you've heard this, Captain Kirk versus Johnny Lawrence from Cobra Kai in a no weapons match will have just aired. You're going to want to check that one out. It's a great episode. And also, Chan, by the time this comes out, the actual feed of the My Three Dads show, a cool show, might I add, with me, Robert Clark Chan, and Marshall Gibbons talking about fatherhood and cartoons for small babies. If you're not hooked by that, come do it. Look for My Three Dads podcast on your podcast dial.
Wait, are we going to start releasing already?
Probably pretty soon. I don't know. Maybe I said that to make it happen in the world.
Oh, Jesus. All right.
Maybe we'll wait a few weeks. I don't know. Look for it anyway on your podcast dial. Watch this space. Chan, any words on my 3 days?
World is... So it's, things are real messed up in the world right now. So, like, I don't... I also have no idea what day it is or which way is up.
We're really ending on a high note, everybody. So until next time, you can hit up our different links, patreon.com/knowingishalfthepodcast. You can go for $5 a month. You can go ahead and get access to our entire bonus vault. It's like 500 episodes. New content. We had our live show where we did an episode of Heathcliff's Christmas, as well as Japanese food tasting. And I think we did something else. I don't know anymore. It's all in this live show for Heathcliff. That is in the Patreon vault. I put it in there. I didn't really tell anybody. Maybe that's a bad move. Maybe I'm not good at Patreon. We're trying is what my point is. You guys want to
the video or the audio?
The audio.
Okay. Okay. Wow. Did we? Okay. I guess we did release
it. We did. All right. We didn't release it to the public, though. That was a live show that we did. So there's that. Enjoy that. You can also go to facebook.com/knowingishalfthepodcast or follow us on Twitter at G.I. Joe Podcast or individually. I am at Almighty Ray.
At 999 RPMs.
I'm at Gina Ippy.
And we are back to doing G.I. Joe. We may not do it next week, but we will do it soon. Next up, A is for Android. So get your dials ready, lock that one in, and come back and see us.
Later. Why do you keep talking about dials? There are no dials in podcasting.
I DJ'd for a little while.
Wise. That's wise.
Keep a gripping at the hold on tight. You got to do the fighting with all of your might. You got to keep the target straight ahead in your sight.
Hello, dear listeners. Do you enjoy playing video games with your best friends? Then I have the pod for you. I'm Philip, host of the Gaming Together, a cooperative podcast. Each week, my co-host Nave and I break down a cooperative experience in gaming. And we are always looking for new co-op partners to join us. So come play with us on the Gaming Together podcast.
So I'm standing over this toilet taking a piss and I'm playing my Pokemon and I dropped it in the toilet. I remember the Game Boy just tumbling into water. And I remember screaming for my mom, trying to get this Game Boy.
Wait, how old are you?
And she yelled at me. She yelled at me.
Oh my god!
Like, traumatized. I was like, no, my Pokemon.
That's Gaming Together, a cooperative podcast. Come on down, co-op partners.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.